Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Frame Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruart. Let's get into the news of today. The first story we're going to talk about is changes in the city of Johannesburg. So Joburg recently elected a new mayor, which was we talked about last week, but it has now also elected a new speaker of the council. And this speaker, replacing a member from the AIC, Councillor Margaret Arnolds, the new speaker, Councillor Mthembu, is from Action SA. So this seems as like the deal between Action SA and the ANC has come together, with Action SA now seeming to back the ANC in the Joburg Council. And Joburg's new mayor, Dada Morero, has, shall we say, lowered expectations for what we can expect from his government. He said, "Don't expect to see any major improvements while I'm in charge." He says there's only 2 years until the next local government elections and that there are severe limits to what he can do. He also claimed that there were no major problems in the western and northern suburbs of Johannesburg, as the news reporting here points out, despite the fact that at the time of the interview, there was a massive water outage affecting thousands of houses in Randburg because a 92-year-old pipe had broken, which I think suggests that the infrastructure problems in the northern suburbs may be a little bit more severe than the mayor is suggesting here. But anyway, he did say that there was some progress being made. He said, quote, "For example, if you go around in the last 2 weeks, you'll see there's a lot of road surfacing that is taking place. We are experiencing problems in the CBD, the south, and the deep south, and that the inner city's massive decay was keeping him up at night." He said that there would be massive bylaw enforcement in the city center, and he believed that with help and positivity from the media and his commitment to Johannesburg, they would be able to repair Johannesburg from the pretty bad state that it's been in. Now, Morris, on one hand, I think he's sort of right in that major changes in Johannesburg, even with the best of intentions and the best of plans, are not going to see much fruit in the next 2 years. I think the problems in Joburg are very severe. But at the same time, it's not really an exciting note to start off your mayorship with. What do you make of this?
Yeah, but it's there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, I think. One of the things you could do is just go make sure that you enforce bylaws about dumping and stuff, and you just go clear up rubbish that's dumped on pavements and so on, and make sure that traffic lights and whatever you work. I think, as you say, there are some severe problems in Johannesburg, and a lot of them are going to take longer than 2 years to fix. But there's, like I said, there's small things you can do. I mean, I was in Cape Town last month, and when I got back to Joburg that night, when I was going back to where I stayed from the airport, I drove through six traffic lights that weren't working, six consecutive traffic lights that weren't working in Joburg. And just that kind of thing, that it's small things that can be fixed fairly easily, and also like things like cutting verges and whatever you, and it's the kind of broken windows theory of municipal management. I mean, it's probably a little bit more difficult than just cutting verges and cleaning up rubbish, but I think it's a start. And maybe Morero is doing the right thing and managing expectations, because not much can change in 2 years, I think. But it's also I don't think it's also right to tell people, well, you just got to accept it. And if you see what you're saying is saying that major cities around the world have similar issues to Johannesburg, and you're saying even places like Paris and New York have electricity issues, which might be true, but I don't think it's because they haven't maintained infrastructure for 50 or 60 years or whatever the case is. So yeah, I mean, I think we probably have to cut Morero a little bit of slack, but not too much. He was on the mayoral committee while Kabelo Gumanda was mayor, and he was also mayor for like 20 days a couple of years ago. So, he's not like somebody who's just been parachuted in. And I think while he does make some fair points, I think it's also not exactly what you want to be hearing from somebody who's in charge of, maybe what could be arguably the most important city in South Africa.
So the other thing, of course, is the, I guess, Action SA deciding that it's going to lend its voting support to the ANC in the city of Johannesburg. What do you make of that deal? Because it looks like, at least for now, nothing much has changed. The EFF and the PA are still holding government positions. Action SA is only taking up legislative roles with regards to that agreement so far. But I suspect this allows the ANC to be maybe a little bit more hardball with the PA and EFF because it doesn't need their support anymore necessarily in Joburg.
Yeah, well, in Joburg, Action SA and ANC together have exactly half the council seats. So they would just need one small party to vote with him, whoever that could be, the IFP or ARC or whatever the case is. And I think maybe in Joburg, an Action SA ANC coalition could maybe work because it'll be two parties, and coalitions with fewer parties are generally a little bit more stable and coherent than ones with bigger parties. I mean, with more parties. And we all know that the EFF isn't really interested in actually governance. I think Action SA is a little bit more interested in governance and actually fixing the problems with the city. But I think an Action SA ANC coalition in Joburg maybe wouldn't be the worst thing. And maybe if Action SA and ANC work together in Ekurhuleni. I think if Action SA works with the ANC to oust the DA in Tshwane, I don't think that'll look too good for Action SA, and I think that could backfire on them. Because it does seem, I mean, it's a big job in Tshwane as well. It does seem Celia Brink is starting to turn things around there. And I don't think it would be, I don't know if it would be a wise move for Action SA to help the DA there. But also, I mean, it just shows how the dynamics of our politics has changed quite a lot since the 29th May election. Colleague Harriman Pretorius pointed out that the GNU has detoxified cooperation with the ANC. And I think that's exactly what we see now with parties like Action SA, which said before the election that they weren't going to work with the ANC under any circumstances. And now they are prepared to. I mean, I don't think it's a problem that Action SA has changed its mind on this. I mean, it's something that happens in politics. But I do think it would be a mistake for them to work against the DA in Tshwane, though.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep a close eye on what happens next in Tshwane. Okay, let's move on. And the new Home Affairs Minister, the DA Home Affairs Minister, Leon Schreiber, has appeared for the first time before the Parliamentary Committee to account for how his ministry is doing. And one of the issues he has stressed very aggressively here is that the ministry needs desperately to digitize. He said that budget cuts meant that the department is running with only around 40% of the staff it needs, but also that it can't really hire up a full complement because it would be too expensive. He also says that without digitizing, not only will we be short of staff, but also South Africa's home affairs system will be extremely vulnerable to an enormous amount of fraud. He was responding specifically to criticism around the issuing of visas to the 95, actually it was originally 100 Libyan nationals who are likely affiliated with a warlord in Libya who are receiving military training in Mpumalanga. Now, apparently, the visas for these 100 Libyan nationals were handwritten. So let's just say that there isn't great command and control from the center on how on what's being issued and why. He said, quote, "How can South Africa regard ourselves as a serious nation when we refuse to embrace something as simple as online applications, which will never even allow a user to click submit if the application is not complete?" Morris, what do you make of this?
Now, this has been a big problem in home affairs for a long time. About 20 years ago, South Africans first needed visas to go to the UK, and it was because our visas were being issued fraudulently to people who weren't South African. And I think just last month, the Republic of Ireland also decided South Africans need visas to go to visit Ireland, and it's because people are arriving there who aren't South African, but they do have South African passports, and they'll be from wherever, some from other countries which need visas to go to Ireland. Then they arrive in Ireland, and then they say, "Oh, actually, we want to claim asylum because we're actually from wherever, whatever the case is." And there was actually a clip going around on Twitter that I saw. I think it was people had arrived it was one from one of these border security programs, and people had arrived somewhere in Europe. I think it might have been in Rome, and there was a guy with a legitimate South African passport who couldn't speak any English. And that raised the suspicions of the Italian border officials, because how could somebody from South Africa not be able to speak any English whatsoever? And they, yeah, and they were a South African citizen. And so obviously it turned out that this was also a South African passport. It was a completely legitimate South African passport, but the person themselves wasn't South African. So the passport itself wasn't fraudulent. So obviously they'd got the passport somehow through Home Affairs. Obviously an official had given it to them, but there was a bribery and corruption. So, and yeah, just the issue with these Libyan nationals too, just shows you there's some serious problems with in Home Affairs. And I think Leon Schreiber, he seems to be doing a good job at the moment, but I think he's definitely got his work cut out for him. And it's not something he's going to be able to turn around in a couple of months. I think I don't know if he'd rather want the job of being Minister of Home Affairs or Mayor of Johannesburg. I think both of them are pretty hard jobs. But at least Leon Schreiber is not throwing his hands up in the air and saying nothing can be fixed and nobody must expect anything.
Yes, that's a little bit of a change in expectation setting there. Okay, let's move on to our last story. And this is some good news, but, you know, kind of only just. South Africa's economy, according to some economists interviewed by Bloomberg, will probably avoid recession. Recession usually being regarded as two quarters of the year back-to-back with negative growth. So last quarter, our economy shrunk by 0.1%. And it looks like we're going to see 0.5% growth in the next quarter, which will allow us to avoid a recession. The economy is still projected to only grow somewhere around 1% this year, which is, of course, extremely low, smaller than population growth, which means that, you know, per capita, our GDP is going down. And this, of course, remains the great crisis of South Africa, our high unemployment rate and the extremely slow economic growth that is driving that. That being said, inflation is starting to calm down a bit, which will no doubt be a welcome relief to many South Africans who have, I think, seriously seen their cost of living rise in the past couple of years when we've had this major global inflation spike. Maurice, this is once again a reminder of why government needs to desperately change the rules of the game so that we can have better economic growth.
Yeah, things do seem to be, there's some green shoots. Citibank also recently said that they expect economic growth to be 2% next year, and a couple of other banks and economic monitoring bodies have said they expect their expectations for South African economic growth are going to be higher in the future. But that all said, 2% economic growth is still not enough for South Africa. We need to be at 3 or 4 or 5%, what we're having in the early 2000s, when we're having about, I think we had 3 consecutive years of 5% economic growth. And then we saw jobs were being created, people were getting richer, things just felt better in the country. So, and the fact that we were there before shows we can get there again. And there's things that can happen. And I think we are probably on the right track at the moment. There's maybe not quite on the right track, but I think we could be on the right track. We might be taking the right turn off to get onto the right track soon. But there's still, the problem is lots of the ANC ministers are still in charge of most of the economic portfolios. They're not looking to get rid of any of the economic policies that have held South Africa back, things such as BEE and what have you. So there are some small things that have been happening, reforms in the energy sector and what have you, which is helping, I think, economic growth. And there's a couple of other things. And 2% economic growth is obviously better than 0% or negative economic growth, but it's still not what we need to get to. But that all said, I do think we're probably starting to go on the right path, but a lot can still go wrong. And I think it depends on what happens with the GNU over the next couple of years. And if we do see any proper economic reforms to get South Africa growing at 4 or 5% a year, which is definitely possible, but we need to, we can't just, hope for it to happen. We actually have to put the correct policies and reforms in place for us to get there.
Right, exactly. At least we're not going necessarily, or at least we're probably not going to go backwards from this point, but that's not nearly good enough. And in fact, we should probably be aiming closer to what the levels that countries like India are currently achieving, which is sort of 7% growth. With those numbers, we would double the size of our economy in like 10 years, and we would seriously improve the lives of millions of South Africans.
And okay, just on the with India, I just want to make the point that with India growing at 6 or 7% a year, they add an economy the size of South Africa's to their own economy about every 18 months. So it just shows you that.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the number of people that are being lifted out of poverty and people whose lives are being actually improved. And that's one thing. Low economic growth has real consequences in any country, but in South Africa, it's why we have high unemployment, high levels of poverty, and it just destroys people's lives.
Exactly. All right, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.